The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Luke Fitzgerald, Sean O'Brien, Fergus McFadden, will you join us on stage, please? And Jamie, I'm going to start with you, Jamie, looking forward to the game at the weekend, because how relevant to our chances of beating New Zealand this Saturday is the fact that we've beaten them twice since they last won the World Cup, the day in Chicago that you played in, and also again in 2018?
I actually think the most important thing is one common factor amongst all of them is Andy Farrell, obviously, and he was with the Lions when they went in 2017, when Shawnee went on tour. And, you know, so he, in Andy's eyes, he's beaten them three times and drawn once over the last couple of years. So he's cracked how to stop them scoring. And I think when you play New Zealand, you have to score points because they are a try-scoring machine. I know in 2018 we held them to no tries, which is kind of unheard of. But in general, you know, we need that secret sauce from Faz on showing how to shut down New Zealand's attack and then build on what we've shown in terms of scoring tries so far.
But Sean O'Brien, I remember as well, after the Chicago success, a couple of weeks later, the game came back to the Aviva Stadium. It wasn't the fastest games I think I've ever seen played in the Aviva, and they won 21-9 in the end, three tries converted against three penalties. Is there a danger with the All Blacks, as soon as you warn them about the potential of what you can do, they just move up onto another level?
Yeah, I think there is with the All Blacks. I think we've seen in the past a few times after we beat them or give them a good game, how I suppose they come out the following day with such intent, trying to absolutely break people up. And that's their mindset, is to absolutely destroy people when they're hurt, or they go back. I think they do a lot of soul searching, I think, in those weeks, and go back a lot to their culture and stuff, talking to a few of them afterwards. And, you know, they've been really fired up at times, you know, when they've suffered a loss or if their reputation's been damaged. You know, they beat people by 40 points usually, and they're still getting, the media at home destroys them still about, you know, not winning by more and et cetera. So there's an awful amount of pressure on them all the time.
But that was interesting what you say about how they physically approach a game, because I think when people think of the All Blacks in recent years, it's a fantastic offloading game. It's an ability to run from almost anywhere, to do things that other teams don't dare. But they do that once they've actually physically beaten up the opposition first.
Yeah, I think so anyway. I think, you know, from playing against them a few times, and you alluded to that game, I dropped the ball. I was only back, I think I was off for a couple of months at that stage. It was one of my first games back. And we done a line-out peel around the back, and I remember it just didn't go quite right. Dev's transfer to me wasn't right. I probably should have held it anyway.
Don't be blaming Dev for dropping the ball, lad.
Dev's got enough stick over the last couple of months.
Unbelievable. Kick a man when he's down.
This fella, unbelievable. You were watching from the stands anyway, so you're all right. But it was one of those things that I probably let them off the hook that day, to be honest. I actually felt after that moment, looking back on it, we'd scored there. We were going a score up at that stage, and, you know, they scored in quick succession after that. So you can't give them any chances, but definitely their physicality, and I think you'll see it this weekend. They're going to try and hurt our first three phases this weekend and try and stop any momentum that we can get.
But Luke Fitzgerald, there's something that Jamie deals with quite a lot in the book, the 2013 game as well, and that 4 minutes in defending the lead at the end of the game, and then it was lost. How much do you think is Ireland's attitude improved since back in 2013? Self-belief that they actually can contain and then put their own game onto the All Blacks?
Look, I'm not sure the attitude has changed. I always feel that in the kind of professional age, you just have to look at the guys next to me. I think everyone is a really good athlete. I think we're well able to compete physically, and I think, yes, they have a few brilliant athletes, particularly around, you know, some of the Islander guys and that are just superb athletes. But I feel like that part of the game is evened out. I always felt that they could go to the fitness and they could rely on that in the last 20 minutes against teams in the amateur era particularly. But I always feel like, you know, there was technical learnings from that. I feel like if you look around, the world in terms of coaching, most of the top coaches are actually from New Zealand, like lots of clubs and that. So I always think while they're brilliant athletes, they all play the game really well, they can all pass the ball, they're all extremely good, you know, at understanding the game and understanding where to put pressure on teams. They have a great understanding of that. I feel like they're always slightly ahead in terms of thinking as well. And I feel like that was a big moment for Joe Schmidt, where he realised, he said, look, we've been working on this 3 minutes, or 3.5 minutes, whatever it was, on this drill to kind of drill ourselves for open field play against New Zealand or against any team. And I thought that was a real realisation for him. He said, well, actually, those guys have been doing it for longer, you know, so we need to take
our... You have to go 4.5, 5 minutes without any break in play.
Well, it seems like a really small point to make, but I think it has massive knock-on effects for the rest of your game as well. I think the thoughts around that had been that the game generally doesn't go beyond. Like those guys, they've guys crunching data for them all the time to help them make these good decisions and inform them about how to get the most out of the team. And up to that point, they'd said, you know, 3 minutes is, you know, if you can repeat that a few times during the game, you'll be bloody hard to beat and you'll be able to last the pace in the really tough parts of the game. I thought that was a big change for them. They realised, geez, we're actually 33% out. Like, these guys can actually do it for 4 minutes, even at the end of the game. You could even hear how they were talking to the referee, talking to themselves, the decisions. They knew the hardest then. And it's because they had been built that into themselves, I think, through the type of rugby they play generally. But I think they knew that they had an edge in that little respect. So I felt like it was a technical thing that's really helped us subsequently, because I think we've really caught up on them in terms of athletes, in terms of thinking and mindset.
But yet, Fergus McFadden, what about the game that we play? I mean, Luke mentions the fact that there are so many New Zealand coaches in rugby. Japan have clearly benefited from Jamie Joseph, offloading game, trying to get them to play rugby. Is it a bit disappointing, particularly after the work that he did with Leinster, in an attacking sense, that Joe Schmidt has been more conservative, perhaps, with the Irish team? And is that unwillingness to offload and take chances likely to cost us this weekend?
I think it's hard to know. I think that, you know, Joe's formula with Ireland was a working one for the first, you know, 3 years that he was there, certainly winning the first two Six Nations, and then going on to win the Grand Slam as well in 2018. So his win percentage is the highest of any Irish coach ever. You know, people forget that. So for Joe, it must be tough to try and change his mindset on how he approaches matches, because it's worked so well for so long. But the unfortunate thing for the Irish team at the moment, and I hope that they prove me wrong at the weekend, is that teams have now figured out the way that Joe Schmidt,
yeah, because Jamie spoke earlier about the fact that they're very consistent, but it's consistent become predictable
a little bit. And I think that that's why the Japan game shocked us so much, because there was so much variety to their play. With the Irish play, like with the Irish multi-phase play, when you get into the 22, it's basically, you know, this has been said 100 times, but it's one pass plays off 9 or maybe off 10. And I just think that we don't have the size of the likes of a South Africa or the power for that to work against the top teams.
So why are we doing it?
You have to ask Joe Schmidt, but...
Do you think he'd tell me?
He'd probably give you around 20 answers, but none of them would be the actual question you asked. He's quite good at that. You know, there has been a lot of negative media probably around the loss against Japan. I think was not justified, but I think that the way that Japan played and beat Scotland sums up that, you know, the Irish performance against Japan maybe wasn't as much of an underperformance as people think. They're a fantastic side, as you said, Jamie Joseph and particularly Tony Brown. I think he's the brains behind their operation. They're an incredibly well-coached side, and they might not have the resources or the profiles of the players from New Zealand, but aside from New Zealand, they're probably playing the best rugby at the World Cup, in my opinion. So, I think for Ireland, we've got it in our locker to beat New Zealand. I think if you go through the games that Joe Schmidt's Ireland has played against New Zealand, we've won 2 out of 4. We also should have won that game in 2013, his first one that these three lads were involved in, where we lost in the last play of the game. So he definitely has the formula to beat a team like the All Blacks, and hopefully he has that again on Saturday.
Okay, how confident are you about this quarterfinal? Because, again, everyone's been talking about all the processes in Ireland are going into this World Cup better prepared, but now it looks like it has to be the one big game that we have to pull out. Sean, how confident are you going into this?
Yeah, I actually said that a thing last weekend. I'd rather have the All Blacks in South Africa, to be honest with you. That was my opinion, because...
Why?
I'd fear the South Africans are so big, so big. Their bench is ridiculously big. They have a heavier pack finishing the game than they have at the start. I'd just be a little bit worried of, you know, their set piece and how they're playing at the minute as well. Their tails are up, and you know, physically, they're just so imposing. But I do think there's a big game in us. I did like the fact that we actually looked fresh at the end of the game the last day, rather than the previous two. We looked a bit tired and a bit slow, and I think maybe the S&C have got it right, actually, of getting us ready for this weekend. And the other thing is that New Zealand know that we're capable of beating them. And that's, you know, to have that in your head as a side, to know that these lads are actually dangerous, to figure us out a few times before. So the lads should have confidence going into this weekend. And, you know, I fancy it to be a very close game. And I think there's been an awful lot of firsts in the last couple of years, beating those teams, going on tours, etc. And I think this is going to be another one.
I hope you're right. Fergus, what's your expectation for this game?
Yeah, I think the argument about who's better to play between South Africa and New Zealand, it's a debate that we could talk about all day, I think, because they're both flying high. But I think that if anyone out there thinks that the likes of Johnny Sexton and James Ryan are happy to get to a semi-final, they're crazy. You know, those guys are going over there to win the World Cup. It's not about getting the furthest in the World Cup.
Isn't it funny that there's been very little talk now of winning the World Cup?
But I can guarantee you that's the only thing that they're saying in camp. And that would be what Johnny has probably been driving for months. And at the end of the day, you know, the group stages are forgotten about now. It doesn't matter what has been done. It's the next 80 minutes. And if we wanted to win the World Cup, we're going to have to probably beat the All Blacks anyway. And we might have to beat the South Africa. But I think we can do it.
Luke?
I thought before it'd be a disaster if we got New Zealand. And my mind hasn't changed massively on that. I think, yes, we have beaten them, but I just feel like the conditions out there, maybe how the team is playing, they have Retallick back, who I think is massive for them. I just worry about it. I don't disagree with what the guys have said, Matt. I really thought that was a great point by Shawnee. No one had kind of said it that way in terms of this kind of era having been, you know, there's lots of firsts, you know, lots of, you know, beating New Zealand for the first time. You know, there's a win over in Australia, tour win over there. You know, lots of firsts. This team is not afraid to go to a place where, and is very capable of going to a place where they haven't been before, the semi-final, right? But I just look at New Zealand, I just don't feel like there's anywhere on the pitch where I see an advantage for us. Whereas if I look at South Africa, I did feel like there was places where we could go to have an advantage. I felt like there was, you know, even though the Colby's a superb player, I really feel like our aerial match with Conor Murray's kicking, that'd be an area where you could go to, you could rely on, because that's something when you're under pressure and you're kicking, you could go there, get the ball back, relieve a bit of pressure. I think we can outthink them at times. I look at New Zealand, I don't necessarily think that. I'm worried about it is the answer. I think on the balance of probabilities, this New Zealand team is bloody good. I think there was lots of doubt about them going into the competition based on the Rugby Championship, but I think they look really strong, Matt, so I'm worried about it.
Yeah, Jamie, what about the fact that perhaps as well the New Zealand team that we beat in the last couple of occasions weren't playing exactly the way they're playing now, with Beauden Barrett gone to full back, having the sort of the two playmakers, himself and Mwinga? Does that make them a more formidable attacking outfit than we faced in recent years?
If you're looking at the stats coming from World Rugby so far, from the competition, they're number one attacking side across carries, line breaks, offloads, and I think meters made as well.
They did have Italy, Namibia, yeah, and Canada, though, in their group.
But you could have said the same thing about our group when you at the outset.
Japan have been the best, though, by far.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm just saying, when you look at the stats, right, statistically...
Sorry, I'll shut up now.
Yeah, statistically, they're the best. They're the best attacking side, right? And statistically, we're the best defensive side. But I said it at the very start, we're going to have to score tries and score more tries than these guys to win. And stop them, like, and they're playing some amazing rugby. Like, some of the tries they've scored this competition have been out of this world. Them in Japan are playing the most attractive looking rugby. And do we have the capability to do it? 100%, I believe we can do it. but a lot has to go right for us. And a lot has to go right in the game. New Zealand have to make some errors for us to get the penalties or get the advantage to kick into the corners and get our position. And because like the way we play right now is, you know, we need to starve you of territory, we need to starve you of possession. I just think with New Zealand, they don't need a whole lot anyway. And they're pretty comfortable to defend just one-off runners. I like, it's not impossible, but it's becoming very hard.
And do you think that's a mistake? Do you think that's a mistake, though, picking Barrett at 15? He's been the best player in the world the last 4 years, is he? 5 years, maybe?
Yeah,
no, Johnny,
I mean,
has one
Steve
in there.
Hansen has gone. That's what he's decided to go with. And I'm not like, I mean, would you normally, you would say yes, you start him at 10 all day. But, I mean, it's working out pretty interesting to have two playmakers on the field at the same time, and giving them a lot of choice. And like, worst, you know, Beauden Barrett in space at the back attacking you, it's a scary proposition. Like, he is absolutely rapid quick. And if you're a back row and you're on the edge, which Ireland tend to have a lot of, like the sixes on the edges, I mean, I would not want him coming back down your channel, because you can't exactly show him the outside, because he'll take it and absolutely skin you. But you can't show him the inside. You got to decide the lesser of two evils, and I don't think there's either with him.
And Fergus, how important is it that Ireland don't fall behind? We have a dreadful record in the World Cup of actually coming from behind to win games.
Yeah, I think that with Joe Schmidt's teams, the bigger wins against the likes of the All Blacks and South Africa down there, and winning that, beating Australia as well, we've gone ahead early. We started very well. So to be honest, if we do start badly against the All Blacks, I probably can't see us pulling it back. But going back to the point you were just talking about, Beauden Barrett and Moanga, initially I actually thought that was the wrong decision from Hansen. I thought that Beauden Barrett is better at 10. I actually think they operate better with him at 10. But I think the reason he's picking Moanga at 10 is because he does the place kicking. And actually, this could work against us in this match, is that on both occasions Ireland have beaten the All Blacks under Joe Schmidt, Beauden Barrett he's missed two or three kicks on both occasions. And whether that could be 6, 9 points or even just 6, that's huge in this type of a match. And I think that that'll definitely be a massive positive for the All Blacks.
Okay, we're under a bit of time constraints here, so I'm going to throw it out. Do people like to ask questions? Okay, start with you there, please.
Do the panel think that New Zealand get a soft shot from the referees?
Well, previously, I would have said 100%. I think the best thing New Zealand ever did was make Richie McCaw captain, because he never saw a yellow. I would love to see how many
yellow cards. Two yellow cards. 147.
That's insane. So. You know what I mean? Because that man was blessed in the dark arts. And the reason I actually ended up... the reason I ended up kneeing in the head, because I know it's not the right thing to do, right? But...
but I'm going to go ahead and justify it anyway.
Yeah, why not? But at the time, I just kind of went... I remember coming into the game, and with all the video work we're doing, it's like, look at Richie. He's not going to get... The ref's not going to bin him. First 10, 15, 20 minutes of the game, if you get anywhere near the try line, he's going to kill the ball. He's going to come over the top of the ruck and absolutely kill it, and the ref's not going to do anything about it. So I was like, right, if I see that, I'm going to take the law into my own hands. So... yeah, 14 minutes into the game, we're hammering their line, and next thing, 5 meters out, we're a meter out, Richie comes over the top. I was like, right, so I go try and ruck him out properly, and obviously I can't get him off, and then his head just happens to be at where my knee was, and got a rush of blood to the head, and I went for it once, and then Keen Healy saved me and put his leg in the way for it, and I went for it a second time and hit Keane's leg. I don't think Keane even noticed, probably thought it was like a fly. And that was that. But yeah, I think they've definitely gotten the luck of the draw when it comes to some referee decisions over the last few years.
And the full story of that is in the book.
Yeah.
We have another question here, little boy.
Who do you think will be the next Irish captain?
That's a good question, because quite a lot of the book is about captaincy and your own position in relation to that. Another teaser for the book. Fergus, who do you think?
I think James Ryan. I think he's probably the next one there. I think Johnny... my captain the side for a while, but I think going towards the next World Cup, I think it's got to be James Ryan.
Agreement from everyone?
I don't know. What age is Murr?
30.
he's kind of a... Murray, I always think, is like unbelievable looking after his own job. Definitely a leader in how he plays. But I feel like he's kind of one of the quiet guys you can rely on in a tight spot. But I think James Ryan's a guy who's done it the whole way up, a bit like a Niall Hogan, who kind of captained at every single level all the way up. I could see him definitely being a great leader for the team. Plus, he's a brilliant player.
Yeah, Sean? I think captain in the next few years, and not the next Lions tour, but the following Lions tour, captain of the Lions.
Okay. Have we more? Thank you for that question. Do we have more questions?
Question for the four guys. When Johnny came back from Paris, he said the standards at Leinster were unrecognisable. As a group that were probably leaders in the locker room and senior players, what happened in that year? Was it that the standards dropped, or did they?
Yeah, Sean, do you want to take that?
Yeah, I'll take that one. I suppose we were going through a tough time at the time. We had a coach. We were after losing a few, I suppose, older heads first and foremost, and a few iconic figures within the environment. We had a coach that was very relaxed and lenient towards a lot of people. And then maybe looking at ourselves as players, were we doing everything we could do possible, within the environment? Probably not all of the time. And it probably, as Jamie's alluded to earlier about Joe, like, he sets a standard so high and expects that of everyone. And I think it just got to a place where it started at the top and filtered into us as leaders, and the standards weren't where they needed to be, and it's very hard then to just click your fingers and get back to a place where you're at that level again. But there's a lot of things happened within that time, but gradually we wound it back in.
You need, like, on anything like culture and values, you need buy-in from not just the bottom up but the top down as well, because it's very hard for a peer group to always be the ones enforcing the values on each other and telling them, like, you're doing this wrong, doing that wrong. Because then it can get very, like, well, piss off, you did this on that date. You know what I mean? So you can only do that a certain amount of times. You need buy-in from the top down as well and enforcement from the coach. When the coach is, I'm not going to say bought into it, but wasn't part of the process of establishing those values, it's very hard to bring them. It's very hard to enforce it and then live by it. When the example being set for you in terms of selection and top down is not where you want it to be.
Sorry, I need to take one last question because we are under time restrictions here from the back. Thank you.
Jeez, I hope it's a good one now.
When Johnny was in France, he had the pleasure coming back to play for Ireland. Do you think it's unfair now with the players that we have abroad that they don't get the same option?
There's no official policy from the IRFU regarding... There isn't. There's, like...
Did they still owe you a few quid or something? No.
It's all on the book. There's no... And this is the thing that baffles me. There is no official IRFU policy on picking players abroad or not.
Do you think, would it change under Andy Farrell?
I'd
say it will. Better anyway. Yeah.
Not finished yet.
I do think it's wrong, though.
Yeah.
I do think that's wrong. There's double standards of play.
Would we be better if we had Dunica Ryan and Simon Zeebo in the squad?
Absolutely.
We'd have a stronger squad, yes.
Yeah.
And me.
You're still hanging around like a bad smell, lad.
I'm out here next month.
I think they should do it because it allows players to go into different environments, experience different things, see how others are doing it and bring that back, be it good or bad. And also I'd love to see, Shawnee as well, so strip out in green one last time.
I think we all would.
Give him the send off that he deserves,
He will be in green just with London Irish.
Hey.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank our three guests who joined us tonight, Luke Fitzgerald, Sean O'Brien, Fergus McFadden. And I'd also like to thank Jamie Heaslip, who I've enjoyed enormously the time working with him on the book. And thank you very much for being with us here this evening. Thank you all very much.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.